Before we get started on Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine, we'd like to tell you about the Miracle Moments Luncheon to benefit Easter Seals UCP Port Health. Earfluence, which produces this podcast, is a proud sponsor, and we'd like you to join us May 1st, 2024 at 11:30 Eastern Time at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary. This event helps raise funds and awareness for the life-changing direct services provided to more than 40,000 children, adults, and families living with disabilities, mental health, and substance challenges so they can live their best lives. We'll put more information on Easter Seals and the luncheon in the show notes, but again, that's Wednesday, May 1st at 11:30 at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary, and we hope to see you there.
Attention, bourbon lovers. Are you ready for a taste sensation like no other? Old Raleigh Distillery, recently awarded Best Micro Distillery in the U.S., invites you to experience the art of whiskey blending firsthand. Located just east of Raleigh in downtown Zebulon, the distillery specializes in premium, micro-batch bourbon and limited-release whiskeys. Visit the tasting room Tuesday through Sunday to savor a wide variety of whiskeys, specialty cocktails, wine, and beer. And don't miss a chance to peek behind the curtain with a tour of the blending operation every Saturday and Sunday at 1 and 2 p.m. For more information and to plan your visit, visit oldraleighdistillery.com. Follow on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Old Raleigh Distillery for exclusive updates and behind-the-scenes content. Old Raleigh Distillery, where every sip tells a story.
That is obviously a very extreme example, but I think it spawned a lot of conversation about, like, do we have the right to tell people what to wear? Some of them were reluctant to talk about this. Some of them were spicy. Some of them were very adamant in their beliefs.
You're listening to Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine. I'm your host, Gina Stevens. You may know Raleigh Magazine, but what you may not know is how we get our stories. It's all inside baseball. You'd be surprised what people will tell us. Our MO is telling stories no one else is telling, so this podcast is where you get the inside access to stories you won't read anywhere else. So let's dive into some of Raleigh Magazine's biggest stories. Do you know how to behave? Are you sure? How we get along is a hot topic these days, from what to wear to dinner or events, or how to date, work, socialize, and more. With me today to talk about modern day etiquette and the death of the dress code is someone who's very passionate about this, Editor-in-Chief Melissa Hauser.
I'm so excited for this episode. So these stories, they've been a long time coming. You know, we like to like just kick crap down the road, and we've been talking about things that, you know, like you say all the time in our meetings, like what are people talking about? And so this goes back, you know, back to November from our cocktail classic, some things we noticed with the like the way people dress there and conversations that came out of that in combination with some things we saw on just, you know, like the modern Miss Manners, basically. Yeah. And so we had a couple of stories kind of come together at the same time.
We had a writer who had spent a long time, and as you said, we've been batting it back and forth, but the death of the dress code.
Yes.
And this was sparked, I mean, it's sparked by a lot of things, but initially we held the cocktail classic the Saturday before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And the invitation or the ticket said hip cocktail.
Yes.
I think that's pretty clear. Even if you don't know what hip is, you pretty much know what cocktail is. Yeah. You know, and you know what it's not. So it probably means a jacket. It can mean a tie. Doesn't necessarily mean a tie. It obviously doesn't mean long dress, but hey.
Definitely doesn't mean athlete.
As I told my son, who went to an awards dinner at his company the other day, and he said, I think I was overdressed. I said, you'd always rather be overdressed than the person who shows up underdressed. Talk about being uncomfortable.
Yeah, but what we found at the Cocktail Classic was that people who did abide by, and the producers, one of them, who did abide by the cocktail attire, they felt but you were saying like kind of out of place. Yeah, she's nodding.
And I had friends who said to me, I think I'm overdressed. I said, no, you're dressed exactly the way it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
I think that was the catch. So it sparked a conversation about how do you get people, if that's the dress code, how do you get them to do it? Are you going to? Which led to our conversation about restaurants. I mean, there's certain restaurants in town. I'm sorry, I'm not walking into my flip-flops. I don't care. I'm just not, right? Yeah. I'm not going to Crawford & Son. Even if he has an open reservation on Saturday afternoon, I've been trolling around downtown in my shorts and my flip-flops, I'm not going to dinner at Crawford's.
Yeah, and then we started reminiscing about how, and this is where it really started to take shape, you know, Angus Barn, for example, like my dad and his family moved here in the 70s, and he had, and I had heard this growing up, he, you know, because we go there now, but he had these memories of like having to be really dressed up to go there, like his dad having on a tie and a jacket and a collar. And I know for a fact that Bloomsbury Bistro was that way when I remember going there and it being that way. So it's interesting because obviously these things have gotten to be a little bit more casual as time has gone on. And it really sparked conversation.
Absolutely. I mean, what thing is Barnes a great example of a place where you see, you know, I grew up on a farm. And it was a restaurant we went to, but we probably weren't, you know, wasn't quite the same thing. It was made, you were made to feel comfortable and everyone was welcome in a way.
Yeah.
And so I think you made a good point that it's a different world we live in today. And some people take things way too far.
Yeah. So once this became like, I think we were in here, we'd been talking about it for a while. Then I think we're in here recording. And I think we started talking to CC about the Cocktail Classic. And it's like, wait, this is like a story. And so Annabeth was writing it and we start, she and I are talking, we're doing some research and it pulls up this article on, I had heard it before, but I've forgotten, about an editor in New York who showed up at a restaurant. This is more recently. And she had on jeans and they said, we're sorry, you can't come in here with jeans. So she famously took her pants off and walked into the restaurant. That is obviously a very extreme example, but I think it spawned a lot of conversation about like, do we have the right to tell people what to wear? Where are we on, you know, as a society, where do we stand on this? And what we found when we start digging into the local dress codes is that the restaurants were very, some of them were reluctant to talk about this. Some of them were spicy. Some of them were very adamant in their beliefs, whatever that was. And so it's a great article that you should pick up. But Angus Barn was obviously one of the ones that we kind of wanted to talk to. And they had, quote, recently re-implemented their dress code, but this is not the 1970s dress code. This is more the like pre-pandemic dress code. I think that the hot take here was that they kind of relaxed things a bit coming out of COVID. And now I will say, having been there a couple weeks ago, the people, now the Turkey Lounge is a whole different animal, pun intended, but the people next to me in the Turkey Lounge had on shorts, t-shirts, ball caps. I mean, it was strange. And we were there for a celebration. We were dressed to the nines, you know? And so I would bring it back to your question a minute ago. Listen, I am one of the people that I think it does affect it. Like I was at M Sushi a year ago going to a show at Deepak. We were dressed up and some people literally came in from the gym. So not just in athleisure, but like sweaty and sat next to, we were at a table, but they sat next to our table at the sushi bar. That did affect my meal. It was gross.
They were, you could smell them.
Yes, literally.
And I understand why the restaurants are apprehensive, right? You know, it's going to lead its way to the modern day etiquette story because let's face it, folks, we haven't forgotten how to behave. We haven't forgotten how to dress. We just think we're supposed to do whatever the hell we want to do.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, like, and, you know, Cece can probably speak to this too, but she and I and you coming at this story had a similar mindset of general decorum and like right place, right time, right outfit. You know, right. One of the first things I look at when I get an invitation is what I'm supposed to wear. And I personally would rather you tell me. I don't want, you know, I just
and
got a wedding.
And if you don't tell me, I'm probably going to ask you.
Yeah, I just got a wedding invitation that said, we'll be wearing X, you wear whatever you want. And I couldn't be more annoyed because I don't want to want, like, I just want you to tell me. I don't want to wonder what everybody's going to be wearing. But a lot of the other people we talked to, because Annabeth did extensive like polling on this in all ages. There was no generational divide.
No.
This was definitely not about how old are you or your gender. And it also just like we were kind of alone. Almost everybody else she talked to beyond the three of us was like, people should be able to wear what they want. And I was like, oh no. And we're talking about fine dining. We're not talking about Wendy's, okay?
Yeah, exactly. We're talking fine dining. We're talking, you know, if you're going to Crawford & Son, you're going to Easton. All right, Cece, chime in on this.
Yeah, I've got my microphone set up. I'm ready to join now. The people in the article are anonymous, but one of them may or may not be speaking to you right now.
So you kind of do agree that, like, or actually you speak about the cocktail classic.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, I did definitely to a degree feel somewhat overdressed when I looked at some of the other people who were there. But I think what my biggest thing is, I personally, I dress very casually. Like, my style is very casual. Same. But my style is also, I like to think, at least in my head, very put together.
Right.
And I think there's a difference between, like, oh, you have to be, like, you have to dress in a suit or whatever. And, like, being elevated in your own kind of unique personal way.
That's a good point.
Where I feel like right now I'm wearing a denim dress. I feel like I could transition this into whatever I needed to be.
Her t-shirt. She's got on jewelry. It's an outfit.
Sneakers on, but they're like leather Converse. You know, right. there's some aspects of it that kind of bring it up. So, like, I personally, like, you're not going to catch me dressing up, going to wherever in heels. Like, that's not going to happen.
Same.
But I will try to look like I belong in the room that I'm sitting in. I think that's the biggest
thing. That's actually a really good point, too, because I wonder how much of this is just confusion of people thinking that we're saying, like, you have to wear a bow tie or a collared shirt. Right. No. I think it's just looking presentable in general.
And it's thinking about the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also how you treat spaces. I think that's the thing.
It's a level of respect.
It is. And I also think there are people who go, oh, well, I go to Turkey Lounge all the time, or I go to Jolie all the time. And so it becomes less special occasion. I don't know. I'm trying
to
think.
If you're going to some of these expensive places all the time, your life's a special occasion. You should be dressed up every day.
Exactly. It's how you view it. But we talked to Stanberry.
Yeah.
We talked to East End Bistro. And yes. Giorgio.
Easton is interesting because they, and also Margo's. So Margo's was the first one we saw that's like really propelled the conversation. Is on their website says they basically adamantly don't have a dress code, but that's not true. Their code is no code. Their code is like come as you are. That is a code, which is Stanberry's code. And that's really kind of what the larger conversation is. So we asked Tyler to speak to this and he declined. And then when I was there this weekend for brunch, he said, oh, you know, somebody from your team reached out to us about talking about the dress code. And, you know, he made an assumption. He assumed that this story was going to be like pro dress code. And I read the email outreach. It didn't have a stance. No, it was just like, we want to speak about the dress code. He just assumed because he heard the words dress code that it meant there should be one. And so he was like, I couldn't speak to that. We don't believe in having a dress code. We believe people should be able to come as they are. And Lauren was there with me and she was like, well, then you should have talked about it because that was the whole point of the story.
Well, I was sitting with Giorgio at East End probably a month or two after it opened and he whirled around his chair and he goes, I love watching people walk in here. He goes, I feel like I see people who dress up and it's like they're putting their best foot forward. He wasn't saying they had to. By any means.
Yeah.
But he goes, it's just great to see people pull out and dress, not their best, but they put their style forward. And I thought that was really interesting because it's such a beautiful restaurant. Mm-hmm. You feel compelled to want to look beautiful in that space or...
Yeah, and they make the point well because they were the ones that said they didn't believe in telling people what they needed to wear, but they felt like people understood the space and, you know, just respect it. They did a poll on their Instagram story. It's still alive right now, asking people how they feel about dress codes. And I do think it's the words.
I think it is, too, because you think back to, you know, if you went to a private school or, you know, church or whatever, there was a dress code. It meant you had to, it was dictated what you could wear.
Right. I think you should come as you are, but you should come as the best version of whoever you are. And I think you should take that most places. Yeah, but and to fit the space.
Yeah.
The version of you that if you took an Instagram picture would look like you belonged there.
And honestly, I feel like people are lying to themselves because the first thing, some of these people that spoke to this, I know them. And the first thing these people are doing when they're invited somewhere is like, what's everybody wearing?
Yeah.
Well, did you not? So you don't care? You don't care what everybody's wearing?
Right. All of a sudden now you don't care about the dress code.
I think this lends itself to a nice transition to the story on modern day etiquette.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think these two fit together rather nicely.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like we really, you know, knock on some wood or something, but I feel like we kind of luck out in terms of how we talk about these stories and they come together. But there's this viral content about, it was 194 tips of how to behave from texting to ghosting to the way we work to commutes to parenting. I mean, and it was The Cut, which is like a spinoff of New York Magazine. It went viral. So it was like in Britain, in the US, MSN called it a deranged list. You know, other people thought that it was a brilliant list. And it had the editors, but it also had people like Amy Sedaris and some other famous people. But they spent a really long time putting these together. They weren't just like random. So Gina and I stumbled upon this months ago.
Yeah.
And I sent her the link and I said something about, I didn't tell her why, but I said, oh, look at the one about the shoes. Do you remember this?
Oh, so I will say up front, we have differing opinions.
But we didn't know that.
We didn't know that. But I think there are lots of things that fall into this. So the kinds of things we're talking about are you're going to visit someone, you're having dinner at their house, or you're dropping in to see a friend, and they ask you to remove your shoes
you
at the door.
You can tell she feels about it.
I'm not going. Don't ask me to take my shoes off. Do you remember the episode of Sex and the City where Carrie takes her shoes off and someone steals them?
Okay, I'm not wearing Manolos, okay?
I'm not either.
But also that ended up sparking another interesting conversation, which is that, oh, and I have to tell you this too, because it's like one of my friends is like, do you have a sign? So I have a shoeless home, but you're right. I don't expect, you made a good point. You were like, I had a Christmas party and you wore boots to my house and that was part of your outfit. What if I made you take them off? And I was like, oh, I would have died. Don't do that. I think there's a difference between like going to someone's house where you're going to be like hanging out for 8 hours versus a party too.
But, or like a formal dinner.
Yeah.
It would be weird if you had all those people over for your Christmas party and said, everybody socks only.
Oh, great. I know.
That would be, what a strange environment.
I don't want to look at somebody's socks. I mean, I'm a shoe person. I like shoes. I like boots. I understand it. I fully think it's your house and you're right. I really think you should put a sign outside on the front so that when we show up,
that's
I'm
not taking... Tell you is that I was like, oh, I'm gonna get a sign because in my experience in my house is people see all the shoes in the foyer and still don't care. And I'm like, ooh, I don't have the guts to say anything. But then, or they'll say, do you want me to take my shoes off? Which I think is passive aggressive.
Of course
I do. But then I still don't have I know the shock shoe, but I'm like, no, it's okay.
I can't believe that.
I know. At work, I'm like, yes. But my parents, we just had like 15 people visit in our family and there was one pair of shoes in the foyer and I will have you know that they all came in and huddled in the foyer and took their shoes off.
My dad would have lost his mind if he had to come into my house and take his shoes off.
I was like, it's so funny for how long it takes 15 people in a foyer to take their shoes off too. I'm sure my parents were like, oh my gosh, you don't have
but
to do that.
But there's some other ones that I think are really interesting. Like,
oh yeah,
one of my favorites is, you know, if someone starts telling you a story and they've already told you that story, you have a very limited amount of time. If you don't tell them in the first, it says 2 seconds.
Yeah.
You've already told me that.
So
then you have to sit and listen.
Yeah, we wanted to think about how to editorialize that, and I knew that was one of Gina's favorites. So she tells us all the time now, if I've already told you this, you changed it.
You said
you have 10 seconds. I love this because I do it now. I've always felt like, is it rude to tell somebody you've already told me this? And seeing these is almost like adopting the ones that you feel comfortable with. And so what we did was we took some of our favorites, but then we editorialized them and either said, we would edit it this way, you know, 10 seconds, mm-hmm. or we don't agree. But they're fun. They're like, it's okay to eat the last bite of food. Lauren edited that one and said the gentleman's bite, which is the second to last bite. I thought that was, I'd never heard that before.
I hadn't either.
Yeah.
A local icon since 1949 and where Raleigh comes to celebrate, savor, and enjoy. Village District is celebrating 75 years of tradition and taste. You can join the celebration for their 75th anniversary on Saturday, April 20th from 3 to 8 p.m. on Woodburn Road. Enjoy live music, pop-ups, a kid-friendly area, and the launch of their Village 75 beer, exclusively brewed by Standard Beer and Food. For more event details and other Village District happenings, you can follow Village District on Instagram at @ShopVillageDistrict, visit their website at shopvillagedistrict.com, or sign up to receive texts by texting the word VILLAGE to 919-701-0202. Time to add the mix into the mix of your go-to hotspots. With signature craft cocktails and neat pours, 12 rotating craft beers, and 8 rotating fine wines, plus cider and bubbles. The mix has the perfect pour for everyone. Take flight with beer, wine, whiskey, mezcal, and tequila. Or not in the spirit, craft cannabis gummies and high seltzers also invite. Sprawl out on the patio, post up on the couch with your laptop on a weekday, catch the big game on multiple TVs, or cozy up in the wine library for an upscale paired tasting. Weekly events keep the good times coming, from tastings to live music and more. For the full lineup of events and offerings, visit bottlemix.com. Yes, with two X's. So that's bottlemixx.com.
So, and then like texting people K, if you do not know, texting the word K is basically like, go F yourself or I hate
thumbs
you.
Thumbs up as I'm learning, which I just got to point. I'm like, I do it all the time. I mean, it's like, if I agree with you, I just want to give you a thumbs up and go, I got it.
She sent me the emoji thumbs up and I was like, so Gina hates me.
But you know what I find offensive is heard.
Oh, that's what we send.
That's like back at the restaurant kind of talk.
Like, yes,
so yeah. Lauren does that to me and I'll send something to her and I'll say, hey, what about blah, blah. And she'll go, heard. And I'm like, okay.
I'm going to get her to start saying yes, chef.
And I get it. It's just basically, I prefer that than I send an email and I never hear anything back. I don't know if you got it, if you read it, if you
that's
know it.
That's true.
That drives
that's
me nuts true. When people read something and don't respond. I definitely do that to people sometimes. I'm not going to lie, but it's still like, you feel like you're shouting into the ether.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My other pet peeve, if you will, is, and I made this mistake at my Christmas party. A friend of mine brought her mother, and I said, oh, it's so nice to meet you. And she goes, you've already met me.
That was one of them, like, if you've met, you know, I mean, there's a way to do it, though, with Kuth. Like, oh, you might remember we've met here. But I'm still not comfortable with it. I don't know.
But there are people. There are serial people who always act like they're meeting you for the first time.
That is drives
it is,
you crazy.
It is really rude. It's almost like, you've met me 14 times and I'm still not important enough for you to remember that you met me. Mm-hmm. I think that's on purpose.
I think that there might be, I'm trying to find it, like a phrase that's safe, like good to see you, you know, but does that suggest that you know?
Well, it's like when you get to the point where it's like, you can't obviously you think someone's pregnant, but you're not sure they're pregnant. Oh, so you're not going there. So do you just act like you know everybody?
That's what I mean. Like now I'm just like, we meet so many people. Now I'm just like, oh, it's good to see you. But is that, what if you haven't met before? Is that weird?
I normally just ask, how are you? Like that can get, this is good new, good old, whatever. I feel like, I don't know if I'm just, people tend to recognize me for one reason or another. I don't know if it's because we've met. I think I look a little, I have a unique kind of look. So I feel like maybe people remember. I don't know. What I'm trying to say without kissing my own butt is that so many people walk up to me and say like, oh, it's great to see you again. How are you? I'm like, I got no clue in my mind who
but
this person is.
But you don't say
is.
It.
No, I just say, oh, how are you? That is, it's
and
good
roll
to see
with
you.
It.
Like, yep, we're best friends as far as I'm concerned in that moment.
And again, same thing. We're not trying to kiss, but our photos are in the magazine.
Right.
People see us sometimes on advertisements or TV or whatever. So people will walk up and start talking. I am certainly not going to say I don't know you or I'm sorry. You know, it's like, I just don't want to make anybody feel bad.
Yeah. I think one of the really cool things about this is like, even if you don't agree with them, it makes you realize you have an opinion. Like, you know, if it's like, oh, I don't know what to do in that situation. And then you see a tip for it. And you have an opinion about that tip. Now
right
you
wrong.
Know. Yeah. So one of my favorite ones, I was thinking about this morning because I knew we were doing this podcast. One of my favorite ones on here was never answer a compliment with a compliment, which I always do because I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And I've
thank
been,
you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I've been in my movie era this week because I'm sure you can hear it. I was sick, but I was watching a movie and somebody complimented somebody and they were like, thank you. And that was the end of it. And I was like, oh, I guess, I don't know. For some reason, it seems so weird to me to just say thank you. That's it?
Oh, I mean, I have a tendency to somebody say, oh, I like that dress. Oh, I bought it for $12 at TJ Maxx. And I'm like, why the hell do I do that?
I don't have the ability to demean any sort of accomplishment or compliment.
I'm trying to learn how to just go, thanks.
Yeah.
And then shut my mouth.
Also, because you run the risk, and because that's how I know I do this so much. They're like, oh, have a safe flight. Or, you know, that's not a compliment. You know what I mean? I'm like, you too. And then I'm like, well, they weren't getting it.
They're not getting it.
Right.
I think like, what I think about is if I was giving somebody a compliment, I would not expect for them to give me one back. Like, that's not my motivation for doing it. So I'm assuming that they probably aren't thinking that way. I just say, oh, thanks.
Also, doesn't it feel disingenuous when they do? When you're like, nice eyes. And then you're like, oh, nice eyes. Like,
yeah. What? Well, I'm just saying it now.
And I will say I have a pet peeve about, I obviously have several pet peeves about this, but this one, when you ask somebody casually, say, how are you? And then you find out that their dog died and their car broke down and, and you're like, I was just saying that. I really am not looking for your, all the things that have happened bad in the last month.
The answer to how
really
you're doing.
Unless it's really funny, I don't want to know.
Make me laugh or don't.
I love that one. Like, the answer to how you're doing is always good.
Great.
Or it's like, nobody was really asking you. So what, I know, like, not all of our listeners are single, but I do think this is a hot take. Do you think it's okay to ghost someone after a first date?
Yes.
50-50. I don't know.
I know. I can't. I love that if I want to be the ghoster, but I don't know if I love it if I'm getting ghosted.
I think it's one date. Who really cares that much? If you are so invested after that one date,
then you got a problem.
Like, that's, you should probably not talk to them anymore anyway, because that just seems like a little intense.
Fair. And then I there was a couple there was a lot for work. They're not all in here, but one of the ones that stuck with me is like, well, obviously there was one on gossip, like, never talk about if you saw anybody crying or heard anybody yelling or whatever, like, just don't talk about it at all, which I love. But there was another one that kind of like bridged the gap between work and friends, which was, if you have some sensitive information, never type it in a text, put it in like the voice memo text. The looks on your faces suggest that you are.
I don't know what you mean.
So I don't use this, but apparently, like, our interns use it, and I'm like, I'm not listening to this. But
the voice memos a lot.
Okay, so it said, like, if there's any sensitive information, instead of typing it, which, I mean, that's fair game for screenshots, copy and paste, whatever, that if you put it in a voice text, it can't be shared.
Well, true, because it disappears after like 2 minutes, unless you click keep. Which you can click keep, and then you can keep it.
Oh, now you really.
But also with the new update within the last like couple of weeks, it gives you like an unedited transcript of what it is the person said. So that's not really accurate anymore.
But hang on. If you're that concerned that someone's going to share something, does that mean you're sharing personal information with the wrong person?
That's probably
true. That's what I mean.
Call somebody on the phone, meet in person, dish the phones, meet at a certain location, undiscussed. You don't want to get tracked. My mom's an attorney. I'm just kidding.
These voice texts are really taking up steam, because I keep seeing these reels on social media where it's like, oh, let me get the popcorn when my friend tells me a 20-minute story. I'm like, I'm not listening to a voice text longer than 30 seconds.
Yeah. I might not listen to any of them.
I honestly look at the previews most of the time now.
I need to know about this preview. But yeah, I think there's just a lot of really like interesting, one of my other favorite ones was like, never, if somebody tells you something, you know, the answer is not, I know, it's you're right.
That one's so hard.
I say I know all the time, so I feel kind of like an asshole.
Yeah.
We both do that.
Well, if you know, it's true.
You're right.
Well, and I think one of your favorite ones I heard you talk about in the office is you may callously cancel almost any plans up until 2 p.m.
Yes, I want to talk about this one because I grew up in a family where they still make me feel this way. I grew up in a family where if you say you're going to do something, come hell or high water, you are going to do it, even sick, like whatever. And obviously, our opinions about how people engage sick has changed since COVID. But otherwise, it really is like deadline, you know, whatever, you're doing it. I love this because I feel like most of the time when people have canceled plans with me, sometimes I'm relieved. And it just puts in a different mindset that like maybe, that just happened Friday. I was supposed to go out to dinner and I canceled and I was so worried they're going to be so upset. And they're all like, oh, thank God, let's go next week. I'm slammed. So do you guys feel that way? Like,
In the interest of breaking apparently number 20, which is don't describe TikToks, it's more boring than describing dreams. I'm going to tell you about a TikTok I saw. this girl who was having like, she was having like a bead necklace kind of party, charm necklace party. And she invited a bunch of girls that she didn't really know but was kind of acquaintances with. She was like ready to make new friends. And like she asked people 2 days before, everybody's coming. And then the day of, slowly it trickles down until like there's only one person who's coming, because like 10 people all are like, no, actually, I can't go. I'm sick. My kid's sick. My dog's sick. Whatever it is. And then nobody was there. And so I personally, unless it's like a really bad day, I'm like 24 hours in advance, I feel like I would try to do. But it just seems, because that girl was so sad. And I saw that. Yeah. And I was like, this changes the way that I look at that. Because she put in so much work.
I know. That. I mean, that's hard. We actually just canceled an appointment today an hour before. And I mean, it couldn't be avoided, but I felt terrible. So mm-hmm. I do think the 2 p.m. mm-hmm. thing is clutch. And that's pushing it. Yeah. I mean, if like depending on what time the plans are. But there was also some interesting ones about parenting. And my family was just here, they had little kids, and one of them said to me, I did not give them any advice. They were joking about something else, but they were like, oh, I want that coffee cup that says I knew so much more about parenting before I had kids. And I was like, man, I'd feel attacked if I had just given you advice, but I didn't. And so there was a lot of stuff in there about that. Mm-hmm. But also, like, you know, do you have the friends that just like post their kids all the time? And it's some balance between, I'm actually interested if you do it the right amount. Like, right. I do care about you and sure. your family. But, like, when it's just, like, that kid is their whole identity,
make
it's too much.
Make the social account for the kid at this point.
Right.
Exactly.
The kids.
Exactly.
All right. So, both of you, do higher-end restaurants, do we believe that higher-end restaurants should have a dress code and enforce them?
Yes, I do. Because I'm not showing up to a higher-end restaurant in a sweatsuit. I'm just not – nobody else should either.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if it has to go as far as, like, back when we had to have bow ties and stuff. But
yeah.
I think there should be a cutoff of, like, well, you're not coming in this.
Well, that's what I think. I would say no hats, no shorts. I mean, I think instead of having – you know, it has to be a jacket. Maybe mm-hmm. it's no shorts, no sweatpants, no tennis shoes. Or well, tennis shoes you can't do because tennis shoes can be more expensive than whatever these right. days. But, I mean, you put some things that are sort of no-nos. And then – I'm sorry. And if they're on the website where you had to make reservations, then you see it. It pops up.
Yeah.
Or when you make yeah. the reservation, you get a text that also says –
says, just a quick reminder – Our policy is know this, know that, know that.
Yeah. I think that is fun.
I think
I do too.
I think it makes going out to fun places that are like elevated enough to have one exciting.
Come on.
Yeah. And if you're having an event, tell us what to wear. I want to yes. know.
We're not changing our dress code for cocktail classics, so figure out what hip cocktail is. Okay. So the tip for how to behave that stuck with you the most out of the article. Was there one of them that if you could only use one and make your friends abide by it and you abide by it, which one would it be?
I think for me, there was one about not commenting on other people's food. I personally don't care if you do that, but I have friends who are like violently offended. And I just heard this, don't yuck my yum. And that actually hit home. I was like, oh, that's why they don't want you to do it. It's like you're ruining their moment. But it doesn't bother me, so I didn't get it, but I feel like I understand it now.
The one that really bugs me, but I get it, but I don't get it, if that makes sense, is never ask anyone what their job is. And I really...
That is a good one.
I have an issue with that because, and I know this is the one that stuck with us. The one that sticks with me is, you got 2 seconds to tell me I've already told that story, otherwise sit there, smile, and shut up. You got 2 seconds. But this one is I think part of as journalists, we're interested in people.
Yeah.
You produce podcasts. You're interested in stories people have to tell. So not your whole identity is wrapped up in your job. I know that. We all have full lives. We do lots of things. But what your career and your job is tells something about you almost yes. immediately. Mm-hmm. So telling me that I have learned I can say, do you work outside the home? I'm smart enough. I can be retrained. I mean, if it's a mom with little kids, you work outside the home or,
yeah,
you know, but
I've had guys yell at me in bars, like not yell, but like get really offended in bars. I'm like, maybe we're making a connection. Like, what do you do? I can't believe you would ask me that.
Are they a stripper? I mean, what are they ashamed of? That makes
Even
me
if
think.
If they are, maybe that's cool. Who cares?
My point is.
I feel like this is a whole separate story that I want
to dig into. Are you ashamed of what you do for a living? Is that why you don't want someone to ask?
I don't know. I really do feel like there's a story here because I want to know.
That stuck with me in the wrong
way. I want to know why. Do you have a take on this?
Like, I think generationally it might be a little bit different because I feel like so many of people my age and so many of my friends really do try to be their whole selves all the time and not just identify as whatever their job is. And I think that that used to be a much bigger part of people's identity. And
like,
now
I'm
I feel
Cece,
like
people, I'm a banker.
Yeah. You know? I don't go around being like, hey, I'm Cece, I'm a podcast producer. Right. But if somebody asks, I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm a podcast producer.
But are you offended when they ask?
No, I'm offended when they're like, tell me about your podcast. And I have to explain all the different podcasts that I produce over and over and over again. Like, I feel like we could just leave it at that. Oh, what do you do? I do this. Oh, what do you do? I do this. Oh, that's cool. You know, and that's the end of it.
I do wonder if there's some truth to what you're saying about what you do, because I think if what you do, for example, is you're an editor or publisher of a magazine, that's so much about how we live our lives, because everything's a story and we're thinking mm-hmm. about it all the time. And there's also the podcast, and I mean, we're just always on. I just think it would be.
I think I obviously talk about, and not talk about the job I have, but talk about the business and the magazine and what I've learned from it so much that I'm beginning to be cautious about that with people, because I'm just like, you know, they get tired of hearing.
Actually, you know, I was just thinking, like, what if you were an actor? Like, you're never not an actor. But I actually just saw a viral post from Cameron Diaz where she was saying the opposite. Like, she was like, I'm an actor, it's my job. Just like you're a teacher right. or you're an editor or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she was like, when I'm at home, I'm Cameron. And when she said that, it gave me chills, because it was weird to think of her as like a person that wasn't an actor. And yeah, she was like, I'm the same as everybody else. It's just my job is public. And that's not always a positive thing. But
guys getting upset interesting, when you ask is just mind-blowing.
It's really turned into a thing where now I'm like scared to ask, because, and also it's so strange, and obviously this wouldn't apply if you're at a networking event, but I think that's where it's weird for me too, is like, okay, so wait, obviously at a networking event,
you have a job.
That's the whole point.
Right.
But like at a bar, it's not okay. What are you supposed to talk about? Which leads me to another one. It is okay to talk about the weather, and I feel so liberated, because I would like to talk about that. That is a go-to topic that I'm very passionate about.
I use sports and weather. I mean, I'm in sales. You have to break the ice with something.
Exactly. Yeah. Now you're taking away everything. You can't talk about the weather. You can't ask people how they are. You can't ask them what they do.
I still think they're hiding something. I still think if there's a reason that someone our age, not Cece's, doesn't want to say.
We're 29, Gina.
Yeah.
Hot.
I'm trying. It's that filter on the camera. But there's a reason. There's a reason you don't want to talk about your job. Either you've been fired 3 times this year or something.
I think that's probably fair.
I mean, don't you think?
I think when you're young, you're still kind of, a lot of people are still figuring it out. Maybe they don't want to talk about their job as much or whatever. But I think if you're a grown-ass adult, you should probably just answer the question.
I know, right?
Hopefully by that point you're proud of what you do.
Yeah.
And if not, then.
Well, yeah, that's the thing too. Yeah. Like if it, maybe it's the difference too between like a job and an occupation or a career. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I think that's a really great point.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe that's what they're tapping into, but I'm definitely gonna look more into this.
Clearly.
I don't know why it's offensive.
Both of these articles are talkers, and
yeah.
Read them, get the magazine, check it out.
Absolutely.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. This has been Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine. I hope after hanging out with us, you feel more like a Raleigh insider. You can find copies of our magazine around town or subscribe for $10 for 10 issues. We'd love it if you gave this podcast a rating and review and share it with your friends. This podcast was edited and produced by Earfluence. I'm Gina Stevens. We'll see you again soon. Want more of Raleigh Magazine in between issues? Visit RaleighMag.com and subscribe to our newsletters. They come out Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. 5-minute read keeps you up to date. And especially on Friday, dish on this: where to eat, where to drink, what to do this weekend. Subscribe for free at RaleighMag.com.